Our next speaker, actually speakers, I should say, are going to speak to us on the challenges of successful ground fault protection of VFDs used in the underground coal mining. The lead presenter will be Jim Martin. Jim is the Vice President of Intermountain Electronics. He's currently employed by Intermountain Electronics in Bristol, where he holds position as Senior VP of Engineering and Technical Services. Jim began his working career in the mid-70s, working for the Virginia Division of Island Creek Coal Company, where he served in various positions, including roles in the division's engineering and maintenance departments. Upon leaving Island Creek, he held the position of District Supervisor of Maintenance and Construction. Other employment included work with several electrical equipment manufacturers before joining Intermountain Electronics in 2008. Upon joining Intermountain, he was one of the persons responsible for the expansion of Intermountain Electronics from the Western U.S. region to the Eastern U.S. regions, culminating with the opening of the South Point, Ohio Manufacturing Center. Jim holds and maintains several MSHA Commonwealth of Virginia certifications, as well as specialized training for control and automation of electrical systems. His primary industry work in mining has involved the design of many electrical systems used in longwall mining. Jim has served on various technical committees and working groups throughout his career, and specifically focused on electrical safety in the mining industry. His cohort, or his partner today, is Pat Lemon. He's currently the project manager at Intermountain Electronics. Pat's currently located in Price, Utah, where he holds position of project manager with responsibilities in sales engineering, management, servicing, and startup of complete product line designed and manufactured by Intermountain Electronics. His certifications include mine foreman, fire boss, electrical, ABB AC 800 certified startup, and management development training. Pat got his start in the mining industry in 1973, where he worked for Mine Service Company as a shop mechanic and assistant shop foreman. Starting in 1975 as a mechanic with Brasdale Coal Company, Pat continued his employment with Price River Coal Company, which was renamed when AEP assumed ownership of that operation. His responsibilities for the new company through an 11-year span included shift maintenance, foreman supervision of a UMWA crew of 12, general maintenance foreman, establishing mechanical, electrical, preventive maintenance programs, and general longwall foreman responsibilities for general longwall maintenance. So with that, I'd like to hand the podium over to Jim Martin. Thanks, folks.
Good morning to you. We'll be sharing with you some of our experiences, some of our technical learning experiences we've had as we've applied some VFDs in permissible applications. Before we get going, I want to also give credit to Bob Houston, who couldn't be here with us today. Bobby contributed to this work and some of the work that we did in the field and in shop testing, along with Pat, who's sitting up here with me, and Clinton O'Shea, and working with the federal and state agencies that we worked with to receive these approvals. Before I leave this slide, Pat, I'd just give you a chance maybe just to talk a little bit about what we're seeing up here. And
on this first slide here, what we're looking at is a VFD car to run some emulsion pumps. The two small ones you see in front are to run water pumps. This is basically kind of a new design for Allen Bradley VFDs, whereas they modified the design of their older PowerFlex 700 drives to the 755s you see there. This application here happens to be one of the mines in the Midwest, and it was also slated the number one producer as far as tons per man. And this particular car here is part of the whole what they call a mule train out by to run these emulsion pumps. And this is the problem we had with these supplying ground fault protection in all frequency ranges of the operational parameters of this VFD, which Jim will address here in just a few minutes.
Okay, again, this presentation will discuss some of the issues one should consider when installing variable frequency drives in underground mining applications, including the ground fault protection, or in particular to the ground fault protection performance when applied with a VFD operating at various speeds. We'll talk about successful testing and documentation to simulate the real-world situation, the application of the drive. And we'll talk a little this morning about some, as we understand it, the regulatory agency requirements and recommendations of MSHA, Approval and Certification Center, and Pennsylvania Bureau of Deep Mine Safety. Again, VFDs have been successfully installed in underground mining applications in the U.S. for many years on conveyor belts, fans, out-by applications. Here's another example of this time being a vertical mounted system. Pat, do you have any comment on this one?
Not really. This one here doesn't really pertain to longwall. This is for a VFD belt application, but we still see the same issues with this as we do with the actual VFDs we run for emulsion pumps.
Until recent years, the application of VFDs within systems, that must be approved and operated and maintained as permissible have not been as commonplace, permissible being defined by MSHA and the Code of Federal Regulations. Some of the more recent applications requiring permissibility are some emulsion pump applications, which you saw in the first slide, and some water pump applications. The introduction of these VFDs in these permissible applications has given rise to involvement of governmental organizations such as MSHA, ANCC, and the Pennsylvania folks. These organizations have developed approval procedures and test criteria to ensure that the equipment is manufactured, tested, and proven to operate safely when installed and put into service. We at IE are aware of the benefit to the mining community of the information we're trying to bring out today. We also understand that there's ongoing revisions going on as to what criteria is going to be required for an approval. And future discussions on this particular topic will probably be warranted and needed. Our recommendation to you, anyone that's considering applying a VFD and really any application, but even more particularly in permissibility applications, that you consult with your governmental organizations that you'd have to receive approval for the latest criteria. Some of our experience when you're performing these electrical tests, and some of them are pretty demanding on the VFD itself, that you consult with the manufacturer and you read the instructions. We have had catastrophic failures of some VFDs, some particular brands of VFDs are seen from our chair more susceptible to a failure during these tests. Most of the two manufacturers that we've dealt with Rockwell and ABB, have successfully passed the tests and the rigors of the tests that we've done. Remember, before performing any of these tests, that you determine the potential hazards of the test, follow your safety procedures, and use your correct PPE. Some of the application and general requirements, systems operating above 1,000 volts in mining, and the most typical voltage being 4160. The maximum available ground fault is typically set at 500 milliamps, half amp. The ground fault current protection typically set at 125 milliamps. Common systems operating at 1,000 volts or less in mining, the most common voltage being 480 volts phase to phase. In that particular case, a absolute maximum we've experienced of 15 amps and less, though, and ground fault protection set at no more than 7.5, though that number is typically driven down by the application. common electrical output utilization circuits. Of course, we have Y connected or derived Y transformer configurations and a neutral grounding resistor. On the board now, we see a typical setup for a test that we would do. This illustrates some of the requirements that, and some of the considerations that you'd have to make as to where the ground fault may occur. As you would see in this area here, a ground fault that would occur on this side of the electrical system, your frequency would generally be around 60 hertz, depending on obviously your system. In the rectifier bus area, in this area here, we would experience DC currents. And we'll talk about some protection of that. And then over on the inverter side or out at the motor, it could be the operating frequency of the VFD. And Pat, you stop me at any point that you want to make any comments. Okay. Mine Health and Safety Administration, ANCC, some of the documentation on the system that you would have to have planned for an installation would include the VFD, its manufacturer, its ratings, the operating mode and the range of the operating mode, the speed and frequency that you're going to apply this on, your neutral grounding resistor rating, your ground fault protection devices, manufacturers, part numbers. This isn't a commercial, but from most of the ground fault applications we've applied so far successfully have been using a Starco relay. They are not the only people out there, but we've seen their relay deployed successfully in these applications and works quite well. And then providing the test data and the test equipment to prove the test data. When determining the test requirements, remember to consider ANCC requires testing of all equipment being used as part of a larger system approval. And this can get rather complex when you consider that alternate VFD manufacturers or models by the same manufacturer, alternate VFD models of the same manufacturer, alternate ground fault relays of the same manufacturer, or alternate ground fault relay models within the same manufacturer all have to be considered and tested. And if you draw out the matrix of that testing rigor or testing procedure, it can get quite demanding pretty quick. System operational range, the operational range of the VFD will be, that will be operating must be declared. This is not the operating range of the VFD per se, but is the operating range that's required by the application. Most applications that I know of in pumping, in hydraulic pumping, have been around 50% level, Pat, at the bottom end, 50 to 100.
The operating range of most of them applications are 50 to 100% of operating value. One of the points we're trying to make with this whole system is, as you know, we're using more and more VFDs for different applications, and most of the ground fault relays built today are built to operate in the 50 to 60 hertz range. So you can see there's an area right there where we're really concerned with, especially on a system like a long wall where we're running the emulsion pumps with VFDs, even the water pumps. We're operating in a very, very low frequency range, so we have to have something in place that's reliable and dependable for ground fault protection.
Continuing on, the NGR rating, the neutral grounding resistor rating must be documented. The ground fault protection relay that will be required for the testing has to be in place, and the ultimate settings will be based on this NGR rating. The safety value of 1/2 the rating of the NGR, which would be the maximum set point of the GFR. That's the absolute maximum. Again, that number will be driven downward depending on the operating range of the VFD. Depending on resources available, the test procedure can be simplified by installing two separate neutral ground resistors of the same make, model, manufacturer in series with a Y connection of the point of the transformer and the equipment ground bus. A bypass switch is pretty convenient if you're doing those tests rated at the system voltage and current. Will be installed in parallel to be able to remove and insert these series neutral grounding resistors. With respect to the ground fault relay used in the system being tested for approval, it too must be documented by manufacturer model number and detailing of the sensors or current transformers used. The protection device must be able to detect a variable frequency at or below the maximum allowed ground fault current set point and operate appropriately. It's a kind of a brief overview of what we hear from ANCC. Now moving on to Pennsylvania, which there is some redundancy, but some unique points. You have to have available support documentation from BDMS that's entitled Variable Frequency Drive Performance Standards. You can get that document by requesting that of the Pennsylvania folks. As far as we know, that document is still in sort of a draft state, but it is a good guideline to use for receiving approvals from Uniontown. Many aspects of the testing required by PABDMS are the same. The criteria in testing must be witnessed by an inspector for the agency, as far as our experience has been. There are two significant differences in the testing required by ANCC versus PABDMS, and they are. In systems operating around 480 volts, PABDMS has required a voltage relay across the neutral grounding resistor. This relay must detect and operate on AC and DC voltages that would be present across the resistor during a ground fault. This applies to systems at 600 volts or less. The voltage relay must operate at no more than 50% of the line to neutral voltage across the neutral grounding resistor at the minimum operating speed during a ground fault. PABDMS requires a total of three detection devices that will operate to independent circuit devices. That two is supposed to be TWO. The detection devices will typically comprise of two each AC or DC current-based devices and one AC and DC voltage-based device. And up here we see a typical arrangement for a Pennsylvania approval as we understand it. Again, a voltage device across your neutral grounding resistor, two current devices, and two current circuit interrupting devices, two breakers or two means of shutting the circuit down. There is a lot of further reading you can do on this subject. There's a couple articles that are out in the public domain. One is in this month's Coal Age, I believe. It's the article you see on the right. The article on the left was just recently published by the folks at Rockwell on some work that Pat and some others did at Intermountain on deploying some VFDs in mining applications. Those documents are available either from Rockwell or from the folks at Coal Age or at our booth. I'll add also that those documents and this presentation are available at our booth on a flash drive if you want to drop over there and pick one up off of Clint. And that brings me to the end of what I had to say, if there's any questions at all for Pat or I.